If we can show kids how the skills that they're learning transfer to amazing careers, then we unlock so much potential in them. On today's episode, we chat with an educator who's using his past career in media to help kids become amazing creators in his classroom.
Welcome to the STEM Everyday Podcast. Each episode features educators sharing their practical ideas to put more science, technology, engineering, and math into every classroom every day. For show notes and more information, visit dailystem.com. Here's your host, Chris Woods.
Well, welcome back to the STEM Everyday Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Chris Woods, and really excited to be able to chat with a media arts technology teacher from public schools right there in New York City. Biggest school district in the world. Really excited to be able to chat with Adam Todd today. He's also the host of a brand new podcast, which has got some great content on it, including some STEM-focused episodes coming up in 2024. Welcome to the show today, Adam.
Awesome to be here. Really glad to be here and talk with you today.
Yeah, I'm excited because I can't wait to, you know, steal some of the ideas that you're doing with your students and try to adapt into my own classroom. But tell us a little bit about how you got to this point. You've been doing some great stuff as an educator, elementary, and then now jumping into podcasting as well.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like a full circle kind of experience for me because this is my 25th year in teaching. Mm-hmm. I've been in elementary school for the whole 25 years, but I actually started out in television. Started out working for the Geraldo Rivera talk show. Wow. I worked there for a few months, and then I got offered a job with the New York Mets as a videographer scout. And I did that for 5 years. It was probably the coolest job I've ever had in my entire life, especially coming out of college. Yeah. That's a lot of fun. And it really was probably the best 5 years of my life right there. But in the off season, November through spring training, I didn't have anything to do. I didn't want to start taking a job and then you have to then leave a couple months later just to go back to baseball. So my mom, who worked in an elementary school as a school aide, suggested maybe I just go ahead and sub. So I said, you know what? Not a bad idea, because I can pick and choose the days I would like to work. And my first day was a science teacher. Not fun, but I got through it, as a sub, but I eventually started to love it. And during the off season, that's what I was doing for several years. And then eventually I had to kind of make a decision. It was one or the other. I was doing both at a certain point, and actually teaching my first 2 years, full 2 years of teaching, I was doing both, and I was literally driving myself into the ground. It was hard, and I eventually decided to go right into teaching full time. So that's where I am.
If you hadn't done that, man, we could be watching, you know, Adam on TV doing some of the broadcasts and stuff right now. But instead, you're working with elementary kids, and as a media arts teacher, you have the ability to show them all those skills that you very practically learned doing them for real.
Yeah, you know, it's to create your own curriculum is a godsend. I mean, it is just, you know, it's one thing to be told, here's your curriculum, you have to cover certain things, which I do. I have to cover keyboarding. It's part of a state mandate. I have to do at least one coding unit, online safety, all that those little things I have to do.
Yeah.
But to be able to create something from scratch and actually build it and see it just evolve over the years and become something that is just amazing, just with technology alone and the things that you can do now that, you know, you and I probably as a kid always dreamed of doing that you can do now, you know, to have the ability to be able to do a podcast is amazing. This is stuff that blows my mind. I'm 49 years old and it still blows my mind that you can do this now, because I've always wanted to do that. So talk about full circle, going from television to now media arts. We also have a 5-minute live morning newscast called BTV. Mm-hmm. We do that every day. It's student led. The entire school has their Promethean panels in their classrooms and they're watching our 5-minute newscast every day. It has the pledge, our social emotional word of the day. It has weather and sports, our school news. And everyone loves it. The kids love it. But so talk about like doing something, going to school to be in television, to actually now having my own little TV studio. Again, you couldn't do that 20 years ago. It couldn't have been, even like before the pandemic, it was probably hard, but you can today.
Yeah. And again, I'm sure in that 25 year career, Adam, you've seen such a huge amount of jump in the capabilities, the things we could do. And even thinking about, you know, I'm sure you're looking at things right now and saying, wow, what could I do even now or next year or 5 years from now that I never even thought possible?
Yeah. You know, if you think about something like just a regular PowerPoint, putting together just a presentation, PowerPoint is great. it does certain things, and it's good to teach the kids how to use those tools. I always feel like, you know, multiple platforms is always best to know more than just the one. Mm-hmm. But now just you have Canva, and Canva is just kind of taking those reins and like light years ahead of what you can do. And I've actually done some of the work with the Canva for Education program, and I've done it with fourth and fifth graders. They absolutely love it. It's a whole new ball game. It's content creation, imagination. It's creating something. And when you marry that with all different curriculum areas, whether it's science or social studies or whatever it is that they're learning, it really takes learning to a whole new level. You know, even with STEM, you can bring that into it. And it's just something different that I think the kids are looking for. They're hungry for that.
Yeah.
So to do something kind of, I call it like kind of flat with something like PowerPoint and a regular old school kind of presentation. I can really say old school because I think, you know, that's been around for a while.
Yep.
To now kind of jump ahead into more of a 21st century feel, it's a different ballgame.
Yeah. And I know a lot of teachers listening are like, I've used Canva or I've dabbled with it a little bit. Maybe, you know, a lot of, I think educators, the first thing to do is they, you know, maybe make some posters for their classroom or some handouts or, you know, some sort of promotional materials for their schools. But, you know, what are kind of some of those best ideas, those things that you're already using it for with those kids now, even at that elementary level?
I like infographics. I usually pair up with our social studies teacher to find out what he's teaching at the time, and I have them do infographics. I love for the state tests, for the science state tests that the kids take, to kind of marry something along the curriculum, whether it's, you know, a weather, you know, cycle, or if it's, you know, the different states of matter. Infographics are great. They allow the kids to visually understand and take in and synthesize what they're learning, to then also put in the vocabulary and everything that they're researching. It's a big deal. You know, even now you could have the kids create video in Canva, which is amazing. I mean, just the abilities that Canva's providing is really great. And a shameless plug, they will be on the podcast sometime in May. So look for that. But I think the biggest thing over the years is just the last, I think from the pandemic, the understanding and the realization that you have to use a lot of these tools now.
Yeah.
The pandemic, I think, really, as bad as it was and all the negative that you hear, did have some positives come out of it. And that's really one of them. It's the ability now to integrate everything. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, just a big leap from where we were just maybe 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, think even back, you know, there were so few teachers that had actually used a Zoom call before. And now it's ubiquitous. Everybody knows I can do a Zoom call.
Right.
But it was just that initial energy, you know, like a catalyst in science to be able to make some of those things happen. And it has. It's caused a lot of those technologies to cross and to be reworked and jump in from that to a podcast. And it's the Classroom Dynamics podcast. You can look it up on any podcast platform, educators. But how do you decide to start that? Was it something out of your classroom or?
So I actually know somebody who used to work for Promethean, who now works for Logitech. And last summer, it might have been my first day of summer vacation. So, you know, you take that big breath and you go, ah, oh, I can finally sit back and relax. I actually got a text, can you call me? And I called him up and they asked me, they said, listen, you know, we were thinking of starting an educational podcast, but we don't have anybody in-house that's actually teaching. His name is Miguel Maldonado. And he said, you know, with BTV, you kind of done this content creation. What do you think? And I was like, at first I was like, you know, it's a great idea, but I was like, I don't know if I could do that. Like that's, you know, not that it's a lot of work, but just, I don't know if I'm the guy you want to do it. And they kind of twisted my arm. It was a team of his. And they said, listen, why don't you just try 3 episodes? If you don't like it after 3, it doesn't work. We get it. You know, take your time, play around with it, learn it. If you don't want to do it, we get it. And I said, all right, I'll do 3. Let's try 3.
That sounds a little bit like what we tell our kids a lot of times. Just try it. Just do something and see what you think.
Exactly. And that's what I did. I wasn't going to turn it down because it was something that was intriguing. Something I always wanted to kind of do is kind of be on television or on radio.
Yeah.
And this was kind of like a nice in between of both. And I did have a little bit of background, you know, that's what I went to school for. I did have some jobs in television. So it wasn't like I was going into it blind. I had some idea. And 3 turned into let's do 5 more, which turned in let's finish the season up, which turned into season 2. And now we're working on season 3 already. So it's an amazing, you know, circle of how it actually comes about. But It's how it happened.
Yep. And again, a lot of things happen like that. Educators were willing to step out, to try something new. And even I've told lots of educators, you know, hey, you've got a story to tell. You've got expertise. Just reach out to a podcast and that's already existing and say, hey, I'd love to share some ideas, you know. And what's the worst they can say? No, you know, I'm too busy. But so many podcasters are willing to listen to some people's stories and have them and share some of those conversations. And right now, in 2024, you know, summer, spring, summer, you've got a STEM series. And for a lot of listeners here, you know, STEM is, you know, always looking for those ideas and those great people. So, you know, talk a little bit about some of those that you've got coming up.
Yeah, thank you. So Classroom Dynamics has a STEM series coming up. Our whole podcast is really built on professional development because it almost feels like there's not enough good professional development. You know, yeah. Some schools are forced to do professional development and it gets to the point where it's so forced that it's not good. Yeah. You know, it's not something that they could actually take and use, or it's just flat. So we actually have a whole STEM series that start on April 2nd and it runs every Tuesday all month. For the first one to kick it off, we had Dr. Michael Ford, who's principal of the Randolph Howell Elementary STEM School in Maury County, Tennessee. And he goes through what it's like to actually turn your regular school into a STEM school. And he gives lots of great advice throughout the whole podcast. And then on April 16th, we go into Brain Pop. So Brain Pop Science, which is a brand new program. And that's with Dr. Michelle Neustadt. She's a senior director of STEM learning design for Brain Pop Science. And it's a program that's really focused primarily for the middle school. Mm-hmm. And if you're familiar with middle school teaching, I'm not, thank goodness, but it could be a challenge. But what they do is they really try to take the traditional textbook learning and turn it into more of a student-driven investigations with mm-hmm. engineering projects. And of course, their simulations that they have and their regular Brain Pop movies that everyone knows very well, probably, they integrate that with everything. So, yeah.
So I'm just thinking right now, educators, if you haven't already, you know, pause this episode, but don't forget to come back to it, and then go and subscribe to Classroom Dynamics on your podcast app and start downloading a few of those episodes. And like Adam, like you're saying, I mean, this... a podcast can be that professional development at any time. You know, it could be when, like, oh, I just need a break. I need to exhale and just to listen to a podcast while you're out walking or on the drive home or on the way to school. That's often where I listen to a lot of my podcasts. It just gives you that little bit of boost, that energy. You know, maybe you find one great idea that you can, you know, adjust and modify and use with your kids in your classroom.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's funny because everything about my podcast right now is obviously it's all technology integrated. It's supported by Logitech. So it's going to be right.
Right.
But, you know, I always felt like there was and there never should be a one size fits all approach to professional development. It should be something that people can kind of pick and choose from. If it's not interesting, they're not going to listen. If it's something that's not going to help them in their classroom, they're going to pass it off. So to have kind of like a lineup where we try to integrate a lot of different things, I think is important. You know, like you do with your STEM programs, you know, there isn't a one size fits all. There's different approaches. There's different grade levels. There's different teachers. There's different kids from different backgrounds. So you really always have to look at, you know, almost like the whole umbrella versus just one straight idea for a show or a topic or something to learn about in school.
Yeah. And again, chatting with Adam Todd, he's a public school teacher in New York City Elementary, working with media arts and technology, and then also running the Classroom Dynamics podcast. And again, check out all the links in the show notes as well. You've done a lot of things with that media arts. I know you shared a couple of ideas already, but what are some of those other projects that you've done with kids? I mean, just pulling off a daily news show every day for a whole year has got to be a challenge. And maybe even just share a couple of tips, things you've learned about doing that process.
Yeah. So BTV actually started from the pandemic where we had some kids learning at home. Some were hybrid, some were only in school. I was actually working at home for about 6 months out of that last big year. But what we wanted to do is try to figure out a way to bring the community together. We actually have an episode on Classroom Dynamics on exactly how we did it, why we did it, and the just the explosion of it, the popularity of it. Mm-hmm. But it's a process where I even have kids that are in, you know, kindergarten and first grade, and they say to me, I want to be on BTV one day. We only take fifth graders, you know, it's like a fifth grade, kind of like a senior activity in our school.
Yeah.
And I really only take, you know, the cream of the crop, you know, the kids who always behave for us, always do the right thing. They help each other. They're always into things. They're asking questions. They're doing the right thing. So, you know, those are things that we had to take into consideration. But yeah, they're on there every day. They rotate through. They do our teleprompter. They do our slides. They're news and weather and sports. And, you know, they help each other with the microphones. It's cute. They do a great job. They really are.
And what you were talking about, Adam, thinking about those kindergartners, those first graders are saying, I want to be on that someday. You're building into them that purpose, that motivation to be successful throughout those next years so that they can be a part of that process when they get to fifth grade. What an incredible opportunity, especially then for those fifth graders to role model for those younger kids as well.
Yeah, no, I agree. And the thing that really amazes me the most is the interest, you know, from a younger grade. But you know, like you just said, it's sparking interest and they're aspiring to do something. And, you know, they see these kids, these fifth graders are like little celebrities. They walk around through the hallways and kids are like, and they'll call out their names and they'll say, you're BTV. And, you know, like they're starstruck and in this own little microcosm of a newscast kind of way. But it's a lot of fun. And, you know, it is a lot of work, but it pays off, you know, every day when, you know, you see every kid in the school and some parents at home are watching.
Oh, yeah, that's probably true, too. So you post that live then or so that the parents and families at home can see that as well, huh?
Yeah, they can jump right into the Zoom and they can watch if they want. Every classroom has it on. So we're talking 700 kids, 70 different staff members and teachers and parents. It's unbelievable. And the kids don't even. You know, you watch them, they get in front of the camera. It's like it's second nature. Yeah. They don't even flinch. And they know that they have like 700 plus 800 people watching them every day, but they just do it. One of the kids I had this year that I picked this year, she pulled me aside probably around this time last year. And she said, I just want you to know, I started my own TikTok with my mom. And I said, oh, that's pretty cool. You're not afraid to get up in front of the camera. She said, no. She goes, I'm practicing for BTV. And I said, okay. In my mind, I was like, you're on. I mean, that's it. That's what you want. You know, that excitement.
That's good. That's great. Now, I'm sure, you know, I mean, every educator is listening and thinking, you know, wow, that sounds great. I'm sure it's got to be a little bit challenging, but I'm sure you've had some failures along the way too, as you're trying to get that to work, right?
Yeah, you know, when I look back to some of the first ones we did, we didn't really use a green screen. We just had the kids sitting at a desk and it was good. But to me, it wasn't what I had envisioned. You know, when I had envisioned it, when my principal asked me if she thought I could do it. And then when I, by the way, told her that I worked in television, she had no idea that I had worked in television before. I said, well, you asked the right person. Yeah. You know, it didn't look professional enough. Right. And I didn't want to put my work into it if it just looks sloppy or just looked thrown together. We bought the green screen. We got the lighting. Logitech provided the cameras and our Blue Yeti. It really helped. Mm-hmm. You know, so you know, just that professional sound, the professional look, the backgrounds that helped. We were able to go to WCBS and WABC.
Wow.
The tours. The kids were actually on set. They were actually on the news. Last year they did the weather with Lee Goldberg in New York City on a newscast. So they got to see, wow, what we're doing here is what they're doing there. They just have hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of equipment. And we pretty much did it for about 100, which is crazy to think. But, you know, that's how we did it.
Yeah. But what they're doing is legit. They actually feel like that. Now, even though, like you said, and I think a lot of educators can learn from this, just start, you know, you didn't have all that equipment at the beginning, but you just got started. You said, I've got this goal. I know what I want it to be someday. And then just keep going. And I'm sure even now you're thinking, what can we do next? And things like that. So that's awesome.
Always thinking what's next, what's the next big thing.
Yeah. And speaking of that, I love to ask people, especially educators, what do you think about the future of STEM education? What are you seeing as things that you think can make STEM education even better?
You know, we do so many cool things. I have a Sphero robot, you know, the Bolt. I think, you know, things like that, I think interest kids because I know they might see it as a toy, but it's really not. You know, they're coding it. So they're seeing all the work that we're doing either in code.org or in Scratch with block coding. Remember, they're elementary school.
Right.
And then they can then go ahead and use that same idea, that same process with the block coding to then code the robot to do what they want to do. So I kind of build up to that during the spring, right after our state test. That's when I usually get into the coding unit, because if I start any sooner, I will never get them to stop. They will never do anything else. You know, so I see teachers who start the year off with coding and I cringe because I'm like, how do you then get them off of that? You know, because they love it so much. So the only way we stop is summer vacation comes in the end of the year and that's it. But you have to stop. That's it, yeah, right?
That's a good tip to try, educators.
It's the best way to do it. You know, they could always do stuff over the summer too because they have their accounts. But, yeah. You know, things like that, I think robotics, I think a lot of content creation in, you know, in the sciences, I think is going to be big. And it really already is. You know, again, with animation, we just had Ben Gilbanks on who created Brush Ninja Animation. And just to have as many frames as you want to create the water cycle, or to create, we just did a whole thing on the solar eclipse because we're going to have a nice show hopefully on Monday. And they created their own solar eclipse animations. So if you can marry that with your STEM education, wow, you know, there you have a brainstorming, there you have visualization, there you have your research and all of things that you want these kids to do in a 21st century classroom. You know, the stuff that we're doing now, even with my third graders, that 10 years ago was just so far out of reach, so Star Trek-y.
Yeah.
That it wasn't going to happen. Maybe in my head it could happen. I can envision it, but you didn't have the tools to do it. Now you do. And so really teachers, if there's one thing that I can say professional development wise is to actually utilize it.
Yeah.
Because I always call it like the horse and blinder effect. When you put the kids in front of a screen and give them something meaningful to do with some meaningful tools, you can hear a pin drop sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, and some teachers will say to me, how did you get them? I can't get them to stop talking. They listen, sometimes you have to, you know, kind of meet them where they are and find out what they like and go with it, you know, especially with technology, even in the classroom. If you're a regular general education classroom teacher and you want to infuse technology, that's how you do it. It's through content. It's through, you know, STEM and STEAM and, you know, history.
Yeah.
Our part four coming up is all about the Lewis Latimer House Museum in New York City. It, you know, think about Lewis Latimer, you know, think about him today. We're still using some of the things that he invented back in the early 1900s.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's still science. That's still STEM and STEAM, but it's how do you marry it? How do you put it together so it's meaningful for the kids? That's the key.
That's awesome, Adam. Getting those cross-curricular connections to make it actually relevant. We're not just learning something because our teacher told us to. We're learning something because it actually gets used in that real world out there. Question I love to ask everybody, Adam, if you could have that ultimate guest speaker, you as a teacher, as an educator, you know, who would that ultimate person from STEM, past or present, be to come into your classroom and inspire your kids?
You know, last year we had Hadi Partovi from code.org. He actually sat with our BTV kids and he talked to them. I would love to have him on the show. So if he's listening, I've reached out to him a couple of times. I'm trying to still get him. But he was so down to earth with the kids when they interviewed him on BTV that for teachers, I would love teachers to hear that on that level. I think that's, you know, he has always had this vision of what the future is going to hold. And he's not afraid to push the envelope a little bit with the code. You know, if you really look at everything now, everything has a computer in it, everything's run by code. That's going to be one of the bigger areas for kids to work in the future. And these kids that are in fourth and fifth grade now, in 10, 12 years when they're going to graduate from college, if they even go to college, because who knows with how that's going to look in 10 years.
Exactly.
Those are going to be the jobs that is going to push industry even further, you know, on multiple levels.
Yeah.
So I think that's really the focus. So I would love to have him on. I could think of probably a whole bunch of others.
Oh, yeah.
He's definitely one that I would love to have on the show.
That's awesome. Great idea there. And Adam, I've been really great talking with you today. Any other last thoughts for educators out there? I know I mentioned, and I'll say it again, educators, subscribe to Classroom Dynamics Podcast and just check out some of the great past episodes or that STEM series released here in spring of 2024. But any other last thoughts today, Adam?
No, I it's the whole point of technology and STEM is to utilize it and to really bring it together. Think about things that are in your curriculum that are meaningful, things that you can extend outward into that technology and engineering realm and bring it in and try it. One little thing is not going to hurt you. You know, it might fail and that's okay if it fails.
Yep.
That's part of the process in STEM anyway, in STEAM anyway. So you might as well try and see how the kids work. You might be pleasantly surprised to see how much, you know, a behavior issue all of a sudden disappears into thin air and how much the, you know, the side conversations that, you know, are not relevant to what they're learning, how that disappears as well. I think that's where people need to take it and really, really run with it. You'll see the kids are going to surprise you.
Yeah. Open up those cabinets, educators, pull out that stuff you haven't used in a while, you know, open up that device and say, what are those programs that we're not using that we have used? And just get the kids, you know, say, hey, let's try it. What can we do? And get them involved as well. Adam, Todd, great chat with you today. And again, click on all the links in the show notes to find out more about everything Adam's doing, and definitely reach out to him if you got any questions. But really appreciate you being on the show today, Adam.
Thank you. I appreciate you for having me. I can't wait to have you on mine now. We'll talk about that down the line. But yeah, it was a pleasure to talk with you guys today and all your listeners too.
Thanks again. And again, educators, thanks for listening to this episode. Remember to subscribe to STEM Every Day and Classroom Dynamics, and then leave a review so that more educators can find out about the podcast. If you need to connect with me, head to dailystem.com. Always happy to help. And until next time, just keep on doing that most important work each and every day.